Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is an attorney who's working in tandem with the Thomas More Society. We're going to be talking about the subject of religious freedom in California in particular. And our guest is Paul Jonah. Am I saying that right, sir?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. Tell us about the controversy going on. I know that a lot of churches, including John MacArthur, that would probably be the most famous one, John MacArthur's church has had a lot of the controversy with the state, where the state was basically trying to shut them down or force them to have such limited number of people in the pews in order to fight COVID-19.
That's right. We have three different cases ongoing on behalf of either pastors or churches. One's in federal court and went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court back in May. That's the South Bay United Pentecostal Church case, resulted in a 5-4 Supreme Court decision, and which was recently revisited in the Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn case, which resulted in a 5-4 decision the other way. But we also have two cases.
Wait, please. I don't understand.
Sure.
Did the churches win? I know that I thought that they won in New York. What happened in California?
Right. So the church in our case back in May, it was 5-4 and we lost.
Oh.
Justice Roberts tragically sided with the other more traditionally liberal justices. But the one that came down most recently, November 25th in New York, the Supreme Court sided with the diocese and struck down the restrictions on churches. And that decision will ultimately control for California. There are multiple emergency petitions pending with the Supreme Court as we speak for to have California's restrictions enjoined. We just today filed another application with the Supreme Court asking for that relief. So we think it's probably a matter of weeks before we get a ruling from the Supreme Court confirming that that same outcome will apply in California. Because we know that the legal issue is exactly the same. The only difference is the facts, and they're much worse in California for churches. Churches are basically closed indoors throughout the entire state almost, whereas in New York, they still had 50% occupancy indoors, and the restrictions that were being challenged allowed like 25 or 10 people inside. California, no one's allowed inside.
But you mean you can't even open a church door to have a service where everybody, let's say, is 6 feet apart and they're wearing masks and then they have hand sanitizer all around? Are you saying that they have to be 6 feet? It's not just 6 feet apart. It's like you can't even open the doors on Sunday morning. Paul, tell us a story about a church that was in Los Angeles recently and there were only 10 people and the authorities came down on them for having some sort of prayer service. 10 people? And I'm sure there were social distancing.
Yeah, there were 10 women praying wearing masks, and they were cited by the County of Los Angeles. The church was cited, you know, for simply having people inside the church. So they expect the churches to be completely closed. They don't, you know, they're enforcing these COVID orders in a discriminatory fashion against churches. And in both cases where we've seen this, it was targeting churches who filed lawsuits against the county to vindicate their constitutional rights. So they seem retaliatory to us.
Wow, that is amazing. And tell us about, liquor stores. Are those being shut down during the pandemic? How about abortion clinics in California?
Right. Well, you have liquor stores, abortion clinics, even strip clubs. We had a judge recently say that a strip club had constitutional protections that allowed it to stay open despite the COVID-19 shutdown orders. So it's ridiculous. I mean, it's a constitutional travesty, but yet churches are shut down 100% indoors, whereas other retail, you know, different percentages apply to different sectors, but they're not, you know, you can go inside a Walmart, a Costco, a liquor store. There's no problem. But you can't go inside a church. So the Supreme Court got this right in the Brooklyn Diocese case. It's just a matter of time before they apply that same logic to California. So we're you know, cautiously optimistic we'll get that relief in the next few weeks here, possibly the next week.
Go back to the May decision from the Supreme Court. Is that the same thing as the Sisolak case out of Nevada?
Which case? I'm sorry.
You had said earlier that the Supreme Court got it wrong in May, as far as Church's case. Was that the same case where they basically said that Caesar's Palace was okay, but the churches weren't okay to stay open during the pandemic?
So the Supreme Court has been petitioned three different times during this pandemic about churches, and the first two times, the full court didn't make a decision. And in our case that went back in May, it resulted in a 5-4 decision. The decision was just not to grant emergency relief, but Justice Roberts went out of his way to issue a concurring opinion. And in that concurring opinion, he explained his rationale for not providing. So that wasn't a controlling decision. And then a few months later, there was this Nevada case, which is very similar. It went up to the Supreme Court and the same thing. The full court just denied emergency relief. They didn't issue an order. But yes, you're right. That's a case where casinos were allowed to have thousands of people, but churches were arbitrarily limited to like 50 people.
Yeah.
That's the Calvary Chapel case.
Right, right. Let me stop you real fast. But Gorsuch said, in no universe does the Constitution say, okay, Caesar's Palace can be open, but Calvary Chapel can't be.
Right. And he was absolutely correct. And he applied the correct test, which is strict scrutiny, which the majority of the court failed to apply until Justice Ginsburg was replaced with Justice Barrett. And now with this Brooklyn Diocese case, they've applied the correct constitutional standard, and they've made it very clear how they expect these sorts of regulations to be interpreted by the lower courts. And so they're giving the lower courts now a chance to follow their guidance. And in California, at least, we're still waiting. The Ninth Circuit heard oral argument yesterday in that same Nevada case.
Yes.
I watched it, and it went very well for the church. Hmm. I think that we'll hear, you know, within the next few weeks, the Ninth Circuit will grant an injunction for the church there. And then we have a hearing tomorrow, actually, in a case in Kern County involving a Catholic priest who's seeking an injunction. So there's a lot of different cases pending in different jurisdictions. It's just a matter of time. But we're quite confident that these restrictions will be reversed in short order.
If you don't mind my asking you this, Roberts, you said, went out of his way to kind of explain his actions back in May. Can you summarize what the gist of what he said was?
You know, it was an opinion that had no precedential effect because it wasn't a majority opinion. It was what's called a concurring opinion. And he didn't provide a real clear rationale for his opinion. He talked about how serious the pandemic is. He talked about, and then he referred to this 1912 Jacobson case, which lots of lower courts have misapplied to sort of to interpret to as, you know, authorizing some of these unjust regulations that we're seeing during the COVID-19 shutdowns. Basically, he just he didn't apply strict scrutiny. He didn't apply the correct constitutional test. So, and unfortunately, lower courts began relying on that decision, even though it was not a binding decision of the court. It was just his concurring opinion. It was a very brief analysis, and it was an analysis that was flawed from the outset. He compared, for example, he decided in that decision that churches should be grouped with other similar large events like concerts, for example. Well, the Supreme Court's now made it clear you can't do that. If any retail establishment is treated is allowed, you know, is restricted in a more favorable way, then a church should at least be lumped together with that other retail establishment. You can't just arbitrarily say they're compared to concert halls or to sporting events. So Roberts had a way of grouping churches that was just constitutionally incorrect, and the full court now has issued a binding opinion that clearly lays out the standard going forward.
All right. You mentioned a few moments ago the strip club decision where a judge in California said, oh, the strip clubs have to be open. And here, unfortunately, legally, it seems as if the churches in California have less rights than the strip clubs. And it's my understanding that strip club decision by a judge in California, he cited the First Amendment. Well, the First Amendment isn't voided by, a crisis or a pandemic. My goodness, the First Amendment was first and foremost about religious freedom. Hello.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, the free exercise of religion is explicitly mentioned in the First Amendment. No, there's no mention of the right to new dancing or to entertainment. So, I mean, there are some decisions in the past that refer to the adult entertainment as sort of protected expression, but to go that far and to say that we're going to, we're going to overlook the state's interest in regulating, in enforcing their COVID-19 shutdown orders because of these constitutional protections for new dancing. I mean, that's a very big stretch, especially when you have cases that refuse to grant that same deference to churches. So I mean, it was a trial court decision. I'm not sure where it's at now, but it just shows how absurd the state of the law is in California.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Would it be fair to say that the governor, I mean, Governor Gavin Newsom seems to have some sort of animus against churches, or is it more like, no, I don't care whether it's churches. I don't care what it is. I want to fight this COVID-19. What's that all about?
Well, it's clear to us that he doesn't think it's that important. Early on in the pandemic, he was asked, how are you deciding, what you're keeping open and what you're keeping closed? And he said, well, and then he was specifically asked about churches. And the way he responded was he said, well, we look at, what's high risk and high reward, what's low risk, what's low reward. And so that's what we base it on. So in his view, if you read between the lines, church is a low reward, high risk thing, so we're going to keep it closed. Whereas, marijuana dispensaries and abortion clinics, those are, regardless of the risk, those are actually high reward in his view, so he's going to keep them open. So that's the kind of arbitrary decision making we're seeing from these liberal blue state governors who don't really understand the Constitution and don't appreciate the importance of the first most fundamental right.
Yeah.
That's cherished by, by our country and certainly by our founding fathers.
That phrase, low reward, what does that mean? That, in other words, the churches don't really add anything to society. We have 30 seconds left.
I don't know what he means, but that's a direct quote from him. So when asked why he was keeping churches closed, his answer was, we look at the risk-reward ratio, and we look at what's high risk, high reward, low risk.
Yeah.
I don't know what he means, but clearly he thinks church is low reward, which means it's not important. Important to people in California,
amazing,
in his judgment.
Yeah. ThomasMoreSociety.org for more information. Paul, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.